Welcome to our service for All Saints' Day. I will arise and go to my father, and will say to him, Father, I have sinned against heaven and before you. Let us confess our sins to Almighty God. Lord God, we have sinned against you and done evil in your sight. We are sorry and repent. Have mercy on us according to your love. Wash away our wrongdoing and cleanse us from our sin. Renew a right spirit within us, and restore us to the joy of your salvation, through Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen. May Almighty God have mercy upon us, pardon and deliver us from all our sins, confirm and strengthen us in all goodness, and keep us in eternal life, through Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen. Another collect for All Saints' Day. Almighty and eternal God, you have kindled the flame of love in the hearts of the saints. Grant to us the same faith and power of love, that as we rejoice in their triumphs, we may be sustained by their example and fellowship. Through Jesus Christ, your Son, our Lord, who is alive and reigns with you, in the unity of the Holy Spirit, one God, now and for ever. Amen. The Old Testament reading today is from Isaiah chapter 25, beginning at the first verse. On this mountain the Lord of hosts will make for all peoples a feast of rich food, a feast of well-matured wines, of rich food filled with marrow, of well-matured wines strained clear. And he will destroy on this mountain the shroud that is cast over all peoples, the sheet that is spread over all nations. He will swallow up death for ever. Then the Lord God will wipe away the tears from all faces, and the disgrace of his people he will take away from all the earth, for the Lord has spoken. It will be said on that day, Lo, this is our God, and we have waited for him, so that he might save us. This is the Lord for whom we have waited. Let us be glad and rejoice in his salvation. This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God.
The New Testament reading is from Revelation 21, verse 1 to 6. Then I saw a new heaven and a new earth, for the first heaven and the first earth had passed away, and the sea was no more. And I saw the holy city, the new Jerusalem, coming down out of heaven from God, prepared as a bride adorned for her husband. And I heard a loud voice from the throne saying, See, the home of God is among mortals. He will dwell with them. They will be his peoples. And God himself will be with them. He will wipe every tear from their eyes. Death will be no more. Mourning and crying and pain will be no more, for the first things have passed away. And the one who was seated on the throne said, See, I am making all things new. Also he said, Write this, for these words are trustworthy and true. Then he said to me, It is done. I am the Alpha and the Omega, the beginning and the end. To the thirsty I will give water as a gift from the spring of the water of life. This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God.
I was hungry and thirsty, were you there, were you there? I was hungry and thirsty, were you there? And the creed and the colour and the name, what matter, were you there? I was cold, I was naked, were you there? I was cold, I was naked, were you there? And the creed and the colour and the name, what matter, were you there? When I needed a shelter, were you there, were you there? When I needed a shelter, were you there? And the creed and the colour and the name, what matter, were you there? When I needed a healer, were you there, were you there? Creed and the colour and the name, what matter, were you there? Wherever you travel, I'll be there, I'll be there. Wherever you travel, I'll be there. And the creed and the colour and the name, what matter, I'll be there.
Our Gospel reading is from John chapter 11, beginning at verse 32. When Mary came where Jesus was and saw him, she knelt at his feet and said to him, Lord, if you had been here, my brother would not have died. When Jesus saw her weeping, and the Jews who came with her also weeping, he was greatly disturbed in spirit and deeply moved. He said, Where have you laid him? They said to him, Lord, come and see. Jesus began to weep. So the Jews said, See how he loved him. But some of them said, Could not he who opened the eyes of the blind have kept this man from dying? Then Jesus, again greatly disturbed, came to the tomb. It was a cave, and a stone was lying against it. Jesus said, Take away the stone. Martha, the sister of the dead man, said to him, Lord, already there is a stench, because he's been dead for 4 days. Jesus said to her, Did I not tell you that if you believed, you would see the glory of God? So they took away the stone. And Jesus looked upward and said, Father, I thank you for having heard me. I knew that you always hear me. But I've said this for the sake of the crowd standing here, so that they may believe that you sent me. When he had said this, he cried with a loud voice, Lazarus, come out. The dead man came out, his hands and feet bound with strips of cloth, and his face wrapped in a cloth. Jesus said to them, Unbind him and let him go. This is the gospel of Christ. Praise to Christ our Lord.
May the words that I speak, and the meditations of all our hearts, be now and ever acceptable in your sight, O Lord, our Rock and our Redeemer. Amen. We're celebrating All Saints' Day today. Strictly speaking, it should be tomorrow, of course, the 1st of November. But it's normal to celebrate All Saints on a Sunday, when the Sunday falls as close to the right day as this. Tuesday, November the 2nd, is All Souls' Day, when by tradition we commemorate the departed. It's a couple of years now since we've been able to hold our annual service of commemoration for the bereaved, which has usually been around this time of year in Llanina Church. I did think about reinstating it this year, but with the level of social distancing still in place, it seemed inappropriate. But the people we've lost, especially during this period of COVID, have been very much on my mind while I've been thinking and praying about our address this week. As you know, in our vicarage family, bereavement has hit us hard in the last 12 months. First, with the long-expected death of my father, but then with the shock of the passing of Jane's sister, Dwina. But we are very aware that we have been far from alone. Rather, we've been alongside numerous people from nearly every one of our 6 churches who've lost someone in the last 2 years. My thoughts and prayers will be with you all this All Souls Day. One of the downsides of being elderly congregations, as we are, is that we see so little of life at the other end of the age range, the celebration of new birth and new life. As it happens, it has been a good, if rather tumultuous week for our family, with much new life to celebrate. This week, just 2 days apart, we were blessed with the birth of a new great-nephew and a great-niece, grandchildren for my brother and sister, respectively. We've only seen the boy, the wonderfully named Ogden, so far. I'm not sure my niece fully understands the danger of giving your son a name that can be shortened to Oggy when you live in Max Boyce country. It may be that he will forgive her one day. Just for the sake of completeness, the little girl's name is Alex. But in fact, most of the tumult at the vicarage has been created by the arrival of the new vicarage puppy, Lottie. As most of you know, we've been at our own house for an aunt this week, and Lottie has been making the acquaintance of Sam's dog, Fidget. Suffice it to say that peace has been at something of a premium for the last 3 days. But Lottie is part of our bereavement story. She will be Jane's dog, a comfort in her loss, we hope, and Jane will have the joy of walking her through the lanes and the fields. Life will go on. The story of the raising of Lazarus, part of which is our gospel reading today, is of course a resurrection story. But it is very importantly also a story of bereavement, with the two grieving sisters, Mary and Martha, obviously enough, but also, and very importantly,
with the grief of Jesus himself. When I was young, everyone knew that the shortest verse in the Bible was just two words, Jesus wept, in the old authorized version of John 35, which is in our Gospel reading today. Jesus wept at the grave of his friend Lazarus. Those who looked on said, "See how he loved him." Interpreters have struggled with the verse. Why would Jesus weep when he knows that he's going to raise Lazarus to life? It's become commonplace, indeed, to suggest that at Lazarus's grave, Jesus is confronted with the reality of his own impending death, which is now just a few short days away. The suggestion is not without merit, but it may be more accurate to say that at the grave of Lazarus, Jesus is confronted not just by the death of Lazarus, not just by his own death, but by every death, by the fact of death itself. Once, many years ago, I went to a dramatized reading of John's Gospel given by a professional actor. When he shouted the words, "Lazarus, come out," it was an enormous sound at the top of his voice. We talked afterwards about why he'd done it that way, and a friend of mine came up with what I think is the best answer. He shouted so loud because he was shouting across the chasm between life and death. To put it more simply, Jesus grieves with every one of us, just as he grieves with Mary and Martha. He grieves with every one of us who has lost a loved one, and indeed with everyone who is fearful at the prospect of their own dying. St. Paul writes, "Jesus must reign until he has put all his enemies under his feet. The last enemy to be destroyed is death." We are angered and bewildered as well as saddened in our bereavement. Each of us reacts in our own way. We understand that Martha, the active, energetic one, is the one who rushes out to meet Jesus on the road. Why Mary, the more passive, more reflective one, is the one who would have been willing to wait for him at home. Each of us grieves in our own way, as these sisters do. But perhaps our fundamental questions in the face of death are the same. Perhaps that's why John gives Mary and Martha separately the same line when they meet with Jesus. "Lord, if you'd been here, my brother would not have died." There's a tiny difference in the word order in the Greek, but Greek scholars tell me that it's unimportant. Both the sisters say, in essence, what all of us want to say to God when we are grieving. "Where were you? Why did you let it happen? If you'd been here, my brother, my mother, my sister, my child would not have died." Just before the narrative of the crucifixion, John's Gospel has two extended narratives, stories which happen in two or three different places at two or three different times. The first of them takes the whole of chapter 9. It is the story of the man born blind, to whom Jesus restored his sight. The second is this story, the story of the raising of Lazarus. These stories are the personalization, the incarnation, if you will, of two great themes which John introduces right at the beginning of his gospel. What has come into being in him, that is, in Christ, what has come into being in him was life, and the life was the light of men. The man born blind is healed by Jesus, and so he passes from darkness into light. Lazarus is raised by Jesus, and so he passes from death to life. Both of these transformations are real. The man really was blind, and he can really see now. Lazarus really was dead, and he really is alive now. But though they are both real, they also have a more profound symbolic significance. The answer to Martha and Mary's cry of anguish, "If you had been here," is that Jesus is here. He is the resurrection and the life and the light of the world. The light shines in the darkness, wrote John at the beginning, and the darkness has never put it out. Lazarus has been shut up for 4 days in the darkness of the tomb, and they have been the darkest 4 days of Mary and Martha's lives. But the deeper the darkness is, the brighter the light of Jesus shines. The light shines in the darkness, and the darkness has never put it out. Amen. It's time for our prayers. We begin with the Lord's Prayer. Entad rhwnwyt yn y nefoedd, sancteddyd y enw, dyled y defnas, gwneled y wychlis, negis yn y nef echli ar y ddeir hefyd. Dydon ni heddiw ein bar y beinyddiol, y maddau i ni ein dyledion, fel y maddau wnynna ein dyledwyr, ac nac ar awen ni brofed i gaeth eith y gwared ni rhag drwg, canu seiddo ti o'r dernas, a'r gallu a'r gogoniant, yn oes oes oedd. Amen. Our Father in heaven, hallowed be your name. Your kingdom come, your will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us today our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For the kingdom, the power, and the glory are yours. Now and for ever. Amen.
Let us pray. God of all ages, who from generation to generation has heard the cries of your children, humbly seeking forgiveness, and has welcomed sinners back into your embrace, hear the thoughts of our hearts, examine our motives, forgive us our faults of word and action. We ask this for your Son, who died, that we might know the true cost of forgiveness. Amen. Bless all who work in stressful situations, in healthcare, teaching, law enforcement, social services, and other occupations where patience and love and perseverance can wear thin and daily stress levels rise. Keep them safe, keep them well, equipped to follow their vocation through the most difficult of times. We pray especially for all NHS staff as they face a rising level of COVID-19 infections and the coming of winter. We pray, Lord, that once their shift is over, they will find rest and peace and be renewed for the following day. Lord, in your mercy, hear our prayer. We pray for our beautiful but very broken world, where the imbalance between those that have plenty and those who have so little is so huge. We pray that the wealthier nations will help the poorer ones feed their people. We pray for a change in the world, with less emphasis on weapons of war, to a more peaceful world where love thy neighbour has real meaning. We pray for the climate conference, COP26, and that the leaders of our world will truly come to understand that action on climate change is needed now to ensure future generations have an environment to live in that is healthy, where they can all grow and develop. Let it not just be a talking shop, but where real actions will be agreed and carried out. Lord, in your mercy. We pray for our church leaders throughout the world as they battle against oppression, intimidation and persecution in the mission of making you known. We pray for our leaders here in Newquay and Cross Inn. We pray for Archdeacon Eileen, our LMA Dean John Lewis, Matthew, Judith and Helwyn, as they lead the church in this time of rising rates of infection in Wales. Keep them safe, O Lord, as they do your work. Lord, in your mercy, hear our prayer. We pray for all those in hospital for routine or emergency care, thanking you for the dedication and skills of doctors and nurses in whom we all entrust our lives. Bless their work, keep them safe, along with all receiving treatment, that damaged and broken bodies might be made whole once more, and troubled minds find peace amidst the clamour of this world. Lord, in your mercy, hear our prayer. Bless those who mourn the death of a relative or friend, and feel that with this loss their lives are now incomplete. Bless those who mourn and fill these empty hearts with pleasant memories, the sound of laughter, sunshine, and happier days. Bless those who mourn and heal their brokenness with the soothing balm of your gentle touch, that they might know shalom, wholeness, peace. Merciful Father, accept these prayers for the sake of your Son, our Saviour, Jesus Christ.
Amen.
Joy of heaven to earth
bless you and keep you. The Lord make his face to shine upon you. The Lord lift up the light of his countenance upon you and give you peace. May the blessing of God Almighty, the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, rest upon you and remain with you, this day and always. Amen.